This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 390. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you. Matt, Dan, and Patrick here today. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, it is what I like to call Matt's three-way. Wait a second. What? Oh, who approved this copy? Gary in accounting? Dang it. Gary, you and I will have words. Matt's three-way, where I'm going to have Cliff Schechter and Bill Corbett both in, talking with us as we'll talk about national politics, some sports stuff, and we'll just kind of goof off because, yeah, it's Friday. And, of course, Cliff Schechter, one of our expert national pundits here, and Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks, Mystery Science Theater 3000. I'm looking forward to hearing them. I'll have to remind them we are broadcast by the FCC, so no sweary. So that's coming up here in the entire 5 o'clock hour. We're in 5 o'clock hour. We do have one thing we want to get to first and foremost. Dan, have you heard about the craze that's sweeping the nation?
No. What could that be?
Well, it's actually Wordle, but that's not what we're doing here. It's AM 950 Wordle. It's our version of it. AM 950 Wordle, here's the deal. Every day this week and next week, by the way, too, we are going to give away an AM 950 calendar. That's right. We have these fantastic calendars still good for 10 and a half months. There you are. We have AM 950 calendars to give away. What we're doing is a variation on Wordle. It has nothing to do with the actual game of Wordle. So what we'll do is we're going to give you three letters. All right. You have to give us in the next 2 hours a word that features those three letters in order in the word. So if I give you C-A-T, you can give me cat, but you can't give me act, okay? Because that doesn't go in order. See how that works? So it has to be, the three letters have to be in order, can be any length of word, can be a place name. As long as it's a legit place name, we'll check it. We'll allow that as well. And all the people that get entered in will randomly select one at the end of the show. That person will get themselves an AM 950 calendar. Now, the ways you can enter this is by calling Dan and Patrick at 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number there. Also, you can go up on our live streams. We are live streaming the show. It's Radio for Your Eyes. Head over to AM 950 Radio's Facebook page. Or Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show. And on both those pages, we're doing the live stream. You can get your entry in there. We've already given away one of the winners was actually an entry on the live stream. So go check out the live stream if you're not driving. I mean, duh. So catch up the live stream if you're at home and put your entry in there if you like. Okay, so here are your – are you ready, Dan? All right. Here are your three letters. That they have to be in order in the word. R as in Romeo, C as in Charlie, T is in Tango, all right? R as in Romeo, C as in Charlie, T as in Tango, R-C-T. Your word has to have those three letters in order in the word somewhere. It has to be a legitimate word. But get your entries in now if you like, 952-946-6205. You have until 6 o'clock, right before 6 o'clock, I should say, Native Roots Radio coming up then. You have right before that show to get your entry in, and like I said, random selection, we'll pick someone, we'll win the calendar. Now, if you would like to get the calendar, but just don't want to play Wordle because, my God, my social media sites have been taken over by this beast. Yeah, I get it. So what you can do is just go over to am950radio.com, go on the Become a Member page, click on that, make a one-time or recurring donation to AM950 Radio, and we'll send you, as a thank you, an AM950 calendar. It's that simple. So you can get a calendar that way, or if you'd like, once again, you can play AM950 Wordle. You have until, like I said, 6 o'clock to get your entries in on that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's get in the Minnesota coronavirus update first here today. The Friday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 4,857 newly reported cases, 36 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll is now 11,797. Today's update includes case data that was reported in the 24-hour period ending at 4 a.m. on Thursday. Minnesota's test positivity rate in the 7-day rolling average through February 3rd was 13.0%, having been as high as, well, 11 points basically higher than that on January 21st. Anything over a 10% puts Minnesota the high-risk threshold. So we're still in that high-risk threshold, but we are coming down dramatically at this point as the Omicron wave kind of moves on at this point. But once again, still got to keep an eye on that secondary wave. Through February 10th, the number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in Minnesota was 1,052. That's down from 1,089 reported on February 9th. Of those hospitalized, 153 are in intensive care, the ICU. That's down from 162, so nine less there. 899 are in non-ICU care. That's down from 297. Those are good numbers. Those are good numbers. And before anyone who is anti-vax, anti-mask, anti-social distancing, see, we got through this together. No, we got through this in spite of you. This probably would have been a heck of a lot less if you clowns would have gotten vaccinated, worn a mask, and socially distanced. Instead, this got dragged out, became a lot worse than it had to be because you're not going to trample on my selfishness. I mean, freedom. That's what it was. Selfishness. Your own petty, tiny selfishness overruled the betterment of other human beings. Yeah, guarantee you this, Christians, it ain't going to go over well when you get to the pearly gates. I'm just going to let you know. Fun story. Not going to go over well. It is not. That's, by the way, that's not me just making that up. That's a fact. Read the Bible. Oh, that's right. You guys probably don't. Well, outside of like three or four passages, and you kind of keep going back to those, but still, you know. Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Luke, they're a hoot. You trust me. Go read them. You'll have a grand time. Anywho, the latest hospital capacity data shows there are 55 staffed ICU beds available in the state. That's actually down from 64 on February 9th. 24 pediatric ICU beds available, which has been even. And once again, sometimes you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. We went down to those other numbers. How are these other numbers kind of not going down with them? When it comes to ICU beds, if it's a North Dakota resident that has to go into Minnesota to get into an ICU unit, that doesn't count against our numbers, but that's still an ICU bed that's being taken. So that's kind of what you're getting at, where Minneapolis gets people from Eau Claire, Duluth gets people from Superior, the Fargo-Moorhead, East Grand Forks. I mean, that's kind of a reality. And considering we're getting better, and I think North Dakota is pretty bad still. I think Wisconsin is pretty bad still. It doesn't surprise me we're getting kind of an influx from some of these neighboring states. So, and frankly too, some of it's not neighboring states. Some of it's like Nebraska and Missouri. Some of that is going on still because some of these other states are overwhelmed. I know some of the western states, Idaho, Montana, I'd hope that no one that needed an ICU bed in Idaho had to come all the way to Minnesota. Dear Lord. As of February 9th, the state reported that 3,862,952 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 3,624,526 people have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 2,096,873 dose booster shots. Total number of people sick in the state of Minnesota from the beginning of this catastrophe, 1,388,401. An interesting note here on the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccination. U.S. regulators on Friday put the brakes on their push to speed Pfizer's COVID-19 to children under 5, creating major uncertainty about how soon the shots could become available. The Food and Drug Administration has urged Pfizer and its partner BioNTech, to apply the authorization of extra low doses of its vaccine for the youngest children before studies were even finished, citing the toll the Omicron variant had taken on children. Next week, FDA advisors were supposed to publicly debate if youngsters should start getting two shots before it's clear they actually needed the third. But Friday, the FDA reversed course and said it had become clear it needed to wait for the data on how well that third shot works for this age group. Pfizer said in a statement that it expected the data by early April. Okay. FDA vaccine chief Dr. Peter Marks said he hoped parents would understand that the decision to delay was part of the agency's careful review of high scientific standards. We take our responsibility for reviewing these vaccines very seriously because we're parents as well, Marks told reporters during a teleconference. Pfizer's early data showed two of the extra low doses were safe for kids under five and strong enough to give good protection to babies as young as 6 months. But once tots reach a preschool age, the 2 to 4 year olds, two shots didn't rev up enough immunity. And the study of the third dose isn't finished yet, meaning the FDA was considering whether to authorize two shots for now with potentially a third cleared later, something highly unusual. Friday, the FDA didn't say exactly what the new data Pfizer was providing, except it was involving a new critical issue with that third dose. So, or as every anti-vaxxer goes, see, it makes you a lizard person. Ooh, I was right. No, this is, they're still, I mean, if you're not paying attention to the story, they're saying right now they're feeling, the first shot's, yes, definitely. The second shot, well, it's not giving enough immunity, which could be a case where they're not, they gave pulled back amounts of vaccine in the inoculation. So that's, you know, because the kids are younger. So maybe they're not getting enough of the vaccine, but, you know, so obviously it's something that's going to be researched. And then obviously then the question about the third dose, okay, if you're not getting enough immunity with the second dose, with the third dose, is it really responsible to go with the third dose, which it's not. And so that's what's going on. They're not saying it turns you into a magnetized green-blooded human. No, that's just delusional nutbags. Delusional nutbags who are still sticking paper clips to themselves saying, see? Yeah, you're fools. You're absolute fools. Needless to say, some due diligence needed. And the major problem I see with this is obviously anyone who has young kids who already have other kids going to schools and stuff like that. Now, granted, Omicron is coming down, and thankfully it is. Hopefully it doesn't rise too bad with this new strain out there, but let's just hope it continues to go down. But still, you're going to have kids who are exposed to a coronavirus, one of the variants, and potentially bringing it home to family members. And that is a concern you're going to have, especially if you have a child who has, for whatever reason, a compromised immune system, asthma. I mean, there's also the obesity. I know some glandular issues are key statistics for coronavirus. So it's kind of one of those things where you got to be very careful here, because once again, we are a country who has apparently become far more concerned about limiting mild inconvenience than we are about making sure there is needless suffering. There isn't needless suffering, I should say. We should be trying to make sure people aren't suffering needlessly from coronavirus or dying, God forbid. But instead, it's, I want my chili popper appetizer plate from Chili's. So don't you dare come at me with a vaccine or a mask, because they're selfish jackasses. And I've actually taken some grief from this, because some people are like, oh, Matt, that's just, come on, man. We have our reasons. Yeah. Let me step back. I mean, there was that horrible story this morning of the young man from North High School in Minneapolis being shot and killed. It's clear at this point that the Republicans' policies of guns everywhere and their insistence that good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns, we clearly see neither of those strategies is working. This is not my opinion. It's clear gun violence is up all over the place. Good guys with guns suck at stopping the bad guys with guns. They don't do it for anything. So the reality is this. We as a country can make the decision. We need to limit by, I don't know, 10,000 deaths the amount of guns within our society. That we should restrict guns, definitely get some hard laws into place, especially about mentally compromised individuals getting access to them, and dramatically limiting them and destroying any gun that's found to be illegal, destroying it, getting it off the streets completely. And we have the ability to I don't know, take 10,000 or so of these gun deaths off the books. Nah, we're not going to do that. We want to still sit in our tertiary suburb basement and look at my wall of guns and feel like I'm safe. It's a joke. It's selfishness. The betterment of humanity, the betterment of us all, will be a lot better served with a lot less guns on the streets, a lot less guns in our society. But we're not going to do that. And no, don't give me the Second Amendment. Second Amendment says well-regulated militia, you absolute yabos. Come on, you idiots. It says well-regulated militia. I've seen you drunken fat asses out there. You're no well-regulated militia, okay? Please. You're a bunch of guys wiping nacho cheese sauce off your freaking fingers and then saying, I'm going to take 12 shots to shoot that bottle. And you use an Uzi to take out a deer. You're morons. We could solve this problem tomorrow. We could. We don't want to. Because limiting mild inconvenience has become far more important in our society than limiting needless suffering. It's plain and simple. And by the way, we could still regulate guns. Second Amendment would still be fully intact. That's actually been decided by the Supreme Court numerous times. Just people don't want to. Same thing goes with vaccines. Goes with common sense measures. Comes with face masks, social distancing. We could save lives. We just don't want to. I got a Super Bowl party to go to. I don't care about your grandma. It is a dark day indeed on where our country has gone, isn't it? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. More of the Minnesota Coronavirus Update when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Say you miss me, say you want to kiss me. I liked it better when you improvise a story we had.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show on 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Once again, AM 950, Wordle going on RCT. Your word has to have those three letters in order. Can be any length word. You can get those to Dan at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Also, as well, making a post over on either AM 950's live stream or Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show live stream on Facebook. Other news here on Minnesota Coronavirus Update, and this obviously with the lifting yesterday of the vaccine mandates in Minneapolis and St. Paul. News of lower rates of Omicron variants have made their way to the Minneapolis employers. Some have decided to reboot their back-to-work plans. The city of Minneapolis will be switching to its official hybrid plans on Monday. It's very exciting, said Steve Kramer, chief executive of the Minnesota Downtown Council, who hears from three of the top 15 downtown employers Thursday, and they reinstituted postponed plans. This is a definite shot in the arm coming out of the cold Omicron-dominated January. I'm confident March and April will bring more announcements like this. XL Energy officials in a downtown council panel on Wednesday said the return date for its 6,000 remote workers is March 7th. Wells Fargo told employees in a letter the same day that it was resuming its voluntary early return to the office effective immediately. However, most U.S. employer groups, including those in customer-facing roles, employees in enterprise functions and line-of-business support roles and technology, will begin to return to a hybrid flexible model starting March 14th, said Wells Fargo spokesperson Stacy Schiller. Ameriprise, which has required some office days starting in the fall, softened that stance last month for its 4,800 Minneapolis workers, 4,800 of them. And when Omicron infection rates were rising, but as of Thursday, the downtown workforce is back to working in the office 3 or more days a week with flexibility, said a spokesperson. Many office staffers are beginning working remotely from home soon after the coronavirus first appeared in the United States in late January. Employers put together return-to-office plans only to postpone them once as COVID-19 variants increase because of case counts. Now that Omicron rates and hospitalizations are on the decline again, they feel safe in calling people back to office buildings again. I can't speak for XL. I can't speak for Wells Fargo. I know people, and I've been up in the Ameriprise building. That's actually a relatively safe work environment because they're not like people, the workers are not necessarily like stacked on top of each other. I mean, they actually have some space. So I would think, you know, and I don't know. I mean, it is an interesting question. I mean, I work out here at the Palatial Broadcasting Complex in Eden Prairie, and we, you know, I mean, and for me, I mean, I came in all the time because it was for radio. It was easy. You just basically told all the rest of the staff outside of the producers and the quote unquote talent that you guys can come on in. And so we did. And that's what we did. That wasn't a big deal. For a lot of people downtown though, I mean, that is a bit of a, you know, they're frankly, as much as a lot of people complain about working remotely and working from home, I think there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I don't want to stop doing it this way. Well, you know, it's give or take, man. It's kind of the way it is. I mean, I've known some businesses where they were last fall where you have to get back to the office now, even though things were actually picking up. So, but that wasn't necessarily in downtown Minneapolis or downtown St. Paul. That was kind of some of the suburban office complexes. You know, it is what it is. I mean, if you got a business, I mean, some of these businesses, the mentality of management is we want people here. I don't want people sitting at home watching game shows all day long. So get them in here. And, you know, to a point, I can get that. I mean, I remember reading the book about the blizzard of 1888. And so many people died. And this was like on a Saturday and a Sunday. So many people died in that blizzard because they were going to work. That even though it was a Saturday or a Sunday, they had to show up in the office. Now, granted, I don't think we want to return to the work standards of your standard 1888 employer. But this is kind of this mentality of business that has not been shaken, is that, you know, I want you in the office environment. There are some people, some businesses are, you know, they get really even, I want you in a suit and a tie every day at the job. That's what you do. I don't know about that. I mean, that's sure, if you're an executive, I can get that. But, you know, to make all the rest of, you know, to if your employees put on a uniform every day, I can get that frustrating. But I don't know. I mean, I think there are just, as much as we say, oh, things are going to change, there are a lot of businesses that are going to go right back to the way things were. And for the employers, or for employees, I think there's going to be that question out there, is do I really want to do this? Because there will be employers who won't, who are like, okay, why are we spending, you know, $5,000 per square foot? God, that's probably a little off there. An extraordinary $500 per square foot to rent out space in a building downtown when we seem to be doing and covering all of our work with everyone at home. That would seem like we could trim some fat off the old budget there. So we'll have to see. If you're one of these people that has to go back in and you don't want to, I can feel for you. But like I said, there are going to be a lot of businesses that are like, I don't care. And, you know, to be fair, there's a lot of businesses that, like radio, where if I come into a radio station. If you work in a restaurant, you work in a bar, well, you're going in there. You're working, you know, firemen, first line, you know, police officers, you're going into work. Nurses, doctors, you're going into work. You can't remote that one. So it's just kind of the beginning of the return to normal. And so the question is, after 2 years of this, what is normal for you anymore? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. More. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I could take you for a ride. I had a premonition.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I should get some dancing in a little bit. Let me, I'll find a song. I'll do some dancing a little bit later on. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Dan, I'll ask you on this right now, just really quick. Are you picking the Super Bowl? I know you are such a huge sports fan.
Who's playing?
Okay, that would be the Bruins versus the Dodgers. So
I don't think the Dodgers,
or nor are the Boston Bruin hockey team. So I don't think.
You really got me there.
Oh, there you go. It's actually the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals, and it actually should be one of the more entertaining Super Bowls, mm-hmm. because they are two very explosive teams, fun teams, And, you know, we're having Schechter's on. I gave the opportunity 2 weeks ago. We had Cliff on. And we're going to have Cliff on here in the next hour. Because he's from Cincinnati. So they're going gaga right now. You know, thinking about, you know, they're already planning the celebration parade. That's what they're doing. I don't know. Do I make him mad and just try to pick the Rams? I don't know. So coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Schechter is going to join us. Bill Corbett's going to join us. We'll talk about how does the body digest paper, and you know, helpful hints for declogging those toilets when you jam a phone book in there. We'll let you know. 952-946-6205. God, I can't believe that actually happened. That is, there you go. There you go. Thank you very much to Todd Colin. Todd, of course, lived here in Minnesota, moved to Spain. Yeah, lucky duck. And he, of course, but still listens to the show. Love him. Thank you very much, Todd. Hope you're doing well out there. Have some of that delicious food for me tonight, okay? Needless to say, he does still listen to the station, and he does want to help us out. So he sponsors us this week, and you can too. If you'd like more information on how you can do that, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. Of course, what Todd wants to remind everyone too is this election cycle, you need to make sure that every vote counts. Go to fairfight.com. That's fairfight.com and sign up. You can find out how you can make sure every vote does count, because right now, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get into something here in just a second. Trust me, there's a lot of Republicans that are trying to make sure that no votes outside of Republican votes count. So fairfight.com, fairfight.com. Thank you very much, Todd. 952-946-6205. We here at AM 950, I got to tell you the truth. I'm stunned we have another one of these. For goodness sakes, people, do not leave a car running. I don't care if you're in Buffalo, Minnesota. I don't care if you're in Hudson, Wisconsin. I don't care if you're in Lakeville or in Minneapolis. Do not leave a running car unattended. Dear Lord, what are you thinking? Of course it's going to get stolen. And yeah, it stinks, but that's what happens. You might as well put a sign on there saying free. Dear Lord, a thief drove off with a four-year-old girl inside the car they just stole in Minneapolis on Friday morning. Minneapolis Police Department says the theft was reported at 10:51, with the owner of the vehicle saying she left the vehicle running with her child inside while making a delivery in the 2800 block of Colfax Avenue South. The thief jumped in, drove away with the child inside. Fortunately, the child has been reunited with the mother a short time later. A 911 caller telling police where the girl who had been left on the sidewalk on the 800 block of 27th Street West. The child was unharmed, but the stolen vehicle is still missing. A 2009 Toyota Highlander with a license plate, BYV959. There have been warnings issued by police in recent weeks regarding the dangers of leaving vehicles running and unattended, with a spate of thefts being reported in such circumstances over the course of the winter. Had a friend, was it Shakopee or Chanhassa? Shakopee, I think it was. Same thing. Oh, I left my car. I ran into the store really quick and came back and it was gone. Really? You're surprised by this. Really? So you left a running vehicle outside of a store and a NASCAR race broke out. Okay. Come on, man. You got to be a little smarter than that. Do not leave a car running. I mean, it's bad enough people leave them unlocked, you know, because, you know, and that's, you should expect that too. I don't care where you're at. I mean, it's really easy to vilify, oh, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Car break-ins, car thefts happen across the state. They do. And if you make it, the easier you make it for them, well, they'll take advantage of it. So please, don't do that. Don't do that. 952-946-6205. An update on a previous story. No criminal charges will be filed in the case where a Republican state lawmaker was visibly thrown out of a political event in Blaine last month. Representative Nolan West of Blaine was booted from a caucus training event hosted by Action for Liberty, a right-wing group that has railed against COVID-19 restrictions and promoted people like Shakopee Republican firebrand Representative Eric Mortensen, a.k.a. Skin Tag. West told the Pioneer Press he went on to the Patriot meetup at the Blaine VFW. Now, once again, I want to make sure I criticize the veterans of foreign wars. What the heck are you guys hosting these guys for? Come on, man. Really? This is that you know, this is what you guys think the VFW is. This is what you think is appropriate content for the community. Jeez. Anyway, it was at the Blaine VFW because it was billed as open to the public. He thought he could slip in without being recognized. Well, if it was billed as open to the public, that would mean anyone can come in. I mean, I'm no word whiz, but I would say that would mean come on in. As Action for Liberty President Jake Duesenberg shared baseless claims that vaccines don't work, Shakopee activist Tony Lalonde stopped West at the door, told him politicians weren't allowed in the meeting that was billed as open to the public. Wow, okay. And then forcibly yanked him out of the room and into a hallway. The incident was recorded in the background of a video of the speaking and posted on social media. West, who was not injured, posted about the incident on Facebook and later decided to seek charges due to the increasingly hostile tenor of the politics, he told the Pioneer Press. However, Blaine City prosecutor Joe Van Tome, T-H-O-M-M-E, told the Reformer he decided not to file charges at the time because the facts weren't present that would allow him to prove the element of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. Okay, wait a second here, Tome. T-H-O-M-M-E. Listen here, Stooge. Okay. You're telling me that you have video, and I've seen the video. He's clearly assaulted. I mean, I'm no legal whiz, but I know what assault looks like. Nolan West, the representative, who I don't agree with at all, but I don't want to assault the guy. I don't think people should be beating on politicians. We have video of this happening. You can clearly see it happening, and you're not going to file charges. What's your political affiliation, dude? Wow. I mean, that seems to me like that seems to me like I don't really want to make those guys mad at me. I mean, those guys are crazy. Well, thank God for doing your job, pal. Crime of reasonable doubt. You can't prove this. You have a video of it, for goodness sakes. I considered any possible charges. Oh, yeah, you seemed to scour the legal books there, didn't you? West has not yet responded to comment, request for comment. Lalonde hung up when reached for comment. Tom, yeah, whatever, said the additional evidence is found. He can always reconsider charges. I don't know, like, maybe video evidence of Nolan West being assaulted at this meeting. Dude, man, that is you. You have one job, and you suck at it. I'm just going to call it at this point. If you can't make a case with the video evidence of this, please. State Representative Donald Raleigh, a Republican from Circle Pines, told ABC newspapers in Anoka County that he also attended an event but was not asked to leave. Raleigh said he introduced himself as a state representative and handed out business cards. According to Raleigh, Duesenberg said they had to throw out West because he was an elected official and had posted things about us on social media, ABC newspapers reported. Lalonde was also accused by State Representative Mary Franson, not a big fan of hers, on social media of kicking out Representative Joe McDonald of Delano and his friends, including two veterans, one in his 80s, out of another Action for Liberty event at the American Legion. Once again, if I can take a quick little side note, American Legion, what the hell are you doing? You're having events where veterans are being thrown out of the event. Wow. You guys, yeah, maybe you just should shut down that branch because you guys clearly don't know what the hell you're doing at that American Legion. Wow. They threw him out because he was an elected official. Franson wrote that apparently the only elected official the group supports is Mortensen. Well, apparently they support this other guy. Raleigh from Circle Pines. Mortensen later shared a video on Facebook in an interview he conducted with Wright County Action for Liberty organizer Joe Crawford about the Delano incident. Crawford told Mortensen the group is a nonprofit, nonpartisan group and can't have a politician involved who wants people to caucus for him because they wouldn't be a conflict of interest. Crawford said McDonald was politely asked to leave and was not happy and made a stink. It is open to the public. That doesn't mean it's open to be hijacked by political figures. Okay, dude, I don't know if you understand what the term hijack means, But sitting there for the event, that's called attending. That's not called hijacking. So you just don't want them there. And by the way, what's this about? Because it sounds like Mary Franson was allowed to stay. And I think, didn't she say Lucero was there too? Another guy, not a big fan of. But it sounds like those politicians were able to stay. And this other guy, Raleigh, was able to stay. They just have a real inconsistent message here. It's open to the public doesn't mean it has to be hijacked by political figures, Crawford says. It showed very well that we're up against. These people are that are used to getting their way. Says the people at the event who dragged someone out physically. McDonald notified the Wright County Sheriff, Crawford said, because he thinks he's above the law. When McDonald refused to leave, Crawford told the organizers to call the police. McDonald has not yet responded for a request for comment. West told the Pioneer Press last month he went to the Action for Liberty event, even though he knew the group was confrontational activist group, saying when he first ran for office, he got death threats from the left, and now he's getting attacked by crazy right-wingers. Always I try to preach, let's be civil, told the Pioneer Press. You know, well, hey, you made the stew, if I can be honest with you. You know, I don't condone anyone sending anyone death threats. But have you seen who's been on Loon Bin Patrol for the last 5-6 years? Serious Loon. He ripped up paper and tried to flush it down the toilet. Official documents from the White House. And when he couldn't, he ate them. The former president of the United States. Yeah, you don't be aghast by the monument you've made. How about I say it like that? You made this. Now all of a sudden, don't sit there and act like this is a problem. You know, this is interesting. Tommy Massey, the absolute moronic jackass Republican congressman from Kentucky, today made the comment, and I'm going to paraphrase it, you know, fairly here, but not too much, that if 30% of the population feels as if the government is tyrannical and wrong, that they should grab all the guns and overthrow the government and install themselves in power. This is a congressman saying the minority who's angry about losing elections should overthrow the government and install an autocratic regime in its place where the minority rules over the majority with guns in their hands. That is what they think democracy is. You know, you have to understand the mess that the Republican Party is. But one thing I want to make sure as I say this, as much as a mess this is, they can easily win. All their voters will still vote Republican. Even the ones like, oh my God, I can't believe Massey said what? Oh my God. Oh, okay, well, Republican. You know, that's going to be what they do. Republican, 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 Republican. Because they're brainwashed into doing it. Even though the people that they've been supporting haven't followed through on anything that they have promised. Even though that they have made their lives worse for most people. Even though they are an absolute loony bin, a clown car of a political party, they'll still vote Republican. Part of that, frankly, is the Democrats don't inspire as much as they need to. They don't. And that's their problem. They you know, I have got an 80-page strongly worded memo on geothermal energy that will win us the election. Oh, for God's sakes. Jesus. Stop. 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 But that aside, this mess really is three separate entities. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to get a break in. Let me get a break in. When I come on back, let me talk about exactly what the Republican Party has devolved into and tell you why you should be scared to death at where it's going. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. The Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Okay, you want to know what the Republican right has become? It really is, for the most part, three separate groups. Now, there are some outliers there, but for the most part, most Republicans fall into one of these three groups. I guess you could call the most sane one, and that's a reach, would be what I call what's remaining of the quote-unquote traditional Republicans. These are, but what they become, they're not like Reagan Republicans in the 80s. They are basically the remnants of the Paul Ryan and Scott Walker Republicans who basically feel they're in love with Ayn Rand, and their whole goal is to completely get rid of every regulation that exists. So no minimum wage, no child labor laws, no OSHA. Get rid of Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. They want to get rid of all government spending, not because they want to give you your tax dollars back and you can go buy whatever you want to on that. No, so they can give massive tax breaks massive money handouts to the billionaires and millionaires. That's what their whole goal is. And so they're trying to get rid of all this stuff. This was a fringe element of the Republican Party when it came in. But now that's pretty much most Republicans who you would consider to be traditional Republicans. These people that just want to wipe out every social safety net program, every government regulation keeping Americans safe. They want to get rid of it. They want to go back to the days of factory towns, that you're betrothed to the company, that if you're born poor, you will always remain poor. No public school, no public education, no health, nothing. You get what you get, and that's it. And that's what they want. That's what you would call the traditionals. There is this growing element of the Republican Party, and this is part of the problem, that when you gerrymander districts and you create districts where Republicans can't lose, then what you end up getting is Marjorie Taylor Greene, Louie Gohmert, Michelle Bachmann. You get these absolute clowns who are in love with the publicity they get. These people, let's just be honest, they are 50-time losers in life, and they are morons. But because they know how to speak to a crowd and become kind of the smartest moron, and I do mean that, the smartest moron, that they basically become the moron pack's leader. And henceforth, they're out there. And so it's like, I'm not really stupid. I am a representative. How can I be a failure now? Ha. And they love the publicity they get. They love this. They say the stupid. For God's sakes, Marjorie Taylor Greene called it the gazpacho police. The gazpacho. She called them the gazpacho police. Oh, a delicious police force. I highly recommend it more, though, in a summer. It's more of a summer dish. It's a cool soup. Anyway. She called them the gazpacho. She's out there because every time she goes out and speak, because media sucks, news media, most of it sucks, they go on out there with the cameras and they'll give her 40 hours of media time every week because what's she going to say next? Oh, boy. She's a train wreck, but she's our train wreck, and we're going to keep showing it over and over again. And these people love the power. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. They're pretty dangerous. Not as dangerous as this last group I'm about to get to, but they're pretty dangerous. I'll get back to that in a second. The last group are the non-politician far right. And when I talk about 40-time loser club, that is who we're talking about. We're talking about people that resent how they didn't pay attention in high school. They didn't get a good job. Their girlfriend left and got married to someone. I get to see it on Facebook all the time now. And God, boy, they look happy. And look at those cute kids. I'm stuck back here in my old town, stuck working this job. I don't want to work. Married to the person I really don't want to be married to. And hating my life. I don't like my house. I don't like anything about my life. And they're full of anger and resentment. And Trump knew this. And Trump, who, by the way, is the king of the moron kings, he basically turned that and created that into a movement that you could literally say, you know what? It's not you. You're not the loser. They're the losers. And for the first time, wrongly, they were given validation. And because of that, that is why they will storm a Capitol or threaten someone or go on out there and, even though they've got a limited income, buy 50 freaking Trump flags and put them in their front yard, because they have become addicted to Trump's telling them they're not the 40-time losers, that they're really the victims, and they love that. So you've got these three different things. History is full of this little diagram. I mean, it is. anytime you've seen democracies fall and evil regimes rise, it's almost always under this guise. The marginalized morons drive. They get the showboat politicians that basically don't understand anything. They're complete idiots and basically are only there for the cameras in their face. And meanwhile, behind the scenes, there are the Von Ribbentrops who basically try to keep everything going while they see their country spiraling out of control and eventually say, I guess I'm along with them. And trust me when I say this, when Massey comes on out and he says it's time for 30% of us to basically, with our guns, take over this country and aim our guns at these people and force them to do what we want them to, they're not joking. He's not joking. And trust me, there are people right now who are saying, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go do that. So we need to address this. You can't just ignore this any longer. You need to basically tell your Republican friends, who you know are not good with Trump and all this craziness, that you don't have to vote Democrat, but you shouldn't be voting for them. Because I can tell you what, if those clowns get back in power again, I don't know if we'll ever see a bloodless transfer of power ever again in this country. And that's a scary thought. But this is, like I said, this isn't the first time this little parade has displayed itself through history. Hour two with Bill Corbett and Cliff Schechter. That's coming up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Matt Patrick here. Once again, AM 950 Wordle going through this hour. If you have a word that has the letters R, C, and T in it, in that order, you can call go ahead and call us at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, or post it on the live streams at Facebook. It's AM 950 there, or Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. Once again, we'll announce the winner of that coming up here at the end of this hour. It's time for Matt's three-way, and I don't do this nearly enough. First of all, joining us, Cliff Schechter is our national presidential expert. Of course, he is part of Unprecedented, the fantastic podcast he does. He's also got Blue Am Strategies. If you need messaging help, trust me, especially with the campaign, he's the guy to go to. He's kind enough to join us from what I'm guessing is an incredibly party-heavy Cincinnati, Ohio today, correct?
That is correct. I am in Cincinnati. People are excited, driving around with flags on the cars. You know, I'm just glad it's not the damn Trump flags. Yes, it's the Bengals flags on the top of the cars. Everybody's excited. You know, we're hoping.
The other part of this menage a trois is Bill Corbett. He is, of course, one of our favorites to have on the show. Riff Tracks, Mystery Science Theater 3000. He is kind enough to join us as well to talk politics, talk sports, I guess. I don't know. We'll figure out where we're going with this. Bill, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Glad to be here. I'm easy. I'll talk about anything. I have no knowledge about anything, but that never stops me.
This is one of the cool things about doing this job, is that sometimes, I mean, Bill Corbett's been following the show for a long time. He's been a fan of the show, and I'm, you know, I got to tell you the truth. I'm flattered, you know, stunned by that. Cliff, of course, we've had you on for years, 10 years or so you've been coming on the show. I had no idea you guys knew each other as well, so this makes this pretty easy.
Well, yeah, it's actually pretty funny. I don't know if Bill wants to tell you how we originally met, but it was pretty funny.
I do, if you don't mind, although there's a missing piece for it for me. Maybe you can fill in. The reason I know Cliff is because I was a fan of his from the George W. Bush days when I used to watch too much stupid cable TV and get myself all mad. But I did notice there was one guy on it who constantly made me cheer, and it was Cliff Schechter, because while, you know, the airwaves was full of bullying George Bush, you know, apologists, and then liberal Alan Combs types just rolling over for them, Cliff Schechter, this guy who looked like 16 to me at the time.
I wish I still did.
Just sort of scrappy little guy who came on and he fought back, and he was like the Republican troll killer. And I wrote a thing about it on a political website that I probably will remain nameless. But somehow that, and I mentioned Cliff because he was like an example of how to debate on live TV. If you're going to do it right. Do it like this guy. And I posted a couple of things. And I also said, where is Cliff Schechter these days? Because I haven't seen him around lately. Obviously, he got too good at this. And people were like, you can't just go kicking Republican ass like that. You have to, like, roll over. So anyway, there might be more to it. I know we met in Minneapolis shortly after that.
We did. Well, I'll say this. I mean, first of all, that what Bill wrote about me was one of the kindest things anybody's ever written about me. And it's probably nicer than anything my kids have ever even said about me, to be honest with you. And but they have to live with me, so we all understand it. But then, like, you know, the thing that was – it was just incredible because, you know, I saw this and, yeah, I'll leave it. Bill, you know, we'll keep it anonymous. It was on a popular liberal website. And I saw it, came across it, and I started commenting. And, you know, Bill was under a pseudonym there, and we started talking back and forth. And it took me a little bit, of course, like he's at, like, you know, I'm sitting there whenever this happens with me. I'm like, he's a fan of mine? Because then I learned, yeah. I'm like, he's as conscious. I mean, you know, this is a guy that, like, wrote a movie that Eddie Murphy was in. I write TikTok ads for people who, you know, who like throw up on themselves and stuff. You know, that's how I make a living on the side. So in any case, just the fact that Bill thought that I'm a communicator, talk about, I was very flattered, and from there on, you know, we became friends, and we I did. There was one of these conferences in Minneapolis. I mean, that may be a decade ago. It may be more. It's frightening. And
yeah, this
and
was like together. 2008 or 2009.
Yeah,
way back
somewhere.
There.
And we got together, and you know, and it was awesome. So it was great to meet him, and since then, you know, we do our things. Bill gets pissed at most Democrats. I get pissed at a lot of Democrats.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, I'm
so we're slightly, we're slightly different there.
I am impossible.
Not as different these days as one might think.
Wanting them to be better is not a fault, guys. Let's make sure we're understanding that. Us wanting them to win.
I accept it.
Yeah.
But I am too. I mean, you know, like I sit there and I mean, you know, Republicans I don't even take seriously except for the threat that they are, you know. But yeah. But Democrats, it gets so damn frustrating because, I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff going on. I mean, this is marketing 101. This is stuff I learned in a basic marketing class on how to kind of message and frame things and tell narratives. And we just don't do it. We don't even try. We're just kind of like, yeah, people figure it out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for, and by the way, let me just say the fact that I know both of you guys. I mean, as much as you know, you deprecate yourself. I'm the trained chimp, and the fact that you guys are, you know, will actually talk to me. I mean, it just I'm giddy about it, and I tell you the truth. You might, Bill. You can start with Bill here. Bill, I still think one of the funniest things is every time I turn on the Riff Track channel on TV Plus. I said, I know him. And my kid's like, oh, we know Dad. You know, it's like, yes, I know Bill. He's a nice guy. And, of course, yep. Yeah, Cliff, I still think one of the funny, my favorite things that ever happened was, remember the kid that drew your picture? And you had it forever. There's someone that loved you so much.
It was
much.
Like a little kid drew a picture of me. And I still have it. I should put it back and make that my avatar thing again. I was like, talk about being, like being, you know, feeling like you know, you're just sort of like flattered to a point of like, oh my God, I'm like some like 7 or 8 year old kid. They're probably sitting there with their parents like, can we go now? I'm tired of listening to this loudmouth who won't shut up about politics, but drew a picture of me and was, you know, it's probably better looking than I am. So I just went with it.
We'll start with politics. We'll give you enough chance to praise Cincinnati, all this stuff here, but I've got to start. It sounds like a bad comedy improv bit. Give me three things: official documents, a golden toilet, the president of the United States. Go. The idea, I mean, today, I don't know if you guys saw that the Republicans were out there claiming that Joe Biden's trying to give away free, you know, crack pipes to inner city people, black people.
Don't they come with the COVID test that we ordered?
Well, no. Four or five. I mean, they're delicious. But no, I mean, they try to put this out there. But the reason why they're going with this outrageous lie is because Trump has done something that's so obscenely bad that the only thing they can do is try to make up an even more outrageous lie about the Democrats and say, sure, he ate official documents, ripped them up as well, and threw them in the toilet. But hey, we're not giving out crack pipes. And I mean, it's just, it is amazing this is where we are at as a country.
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I mean, they're always reliable with this stuff. There's an old Monty Python sketch. It's very absurd, but it's business called Confuse a Cat, where you want to, like, get your cat to move from where they are. You do this absurd dance in front of them and just basically get them to go away. I just feel like the Republicans are incredibly well-primed to, you know, get their trebuchet of BS going whenever there's something like this. And I would like to see a little more on our side of it, you know, as I know you guys do, too. And it doesn't even have to be BS. It can be real, you know. So they're very deliberate that way, and it sort of works, unfortunately, a lot of the time. But, yeah, you can count on them. When there's a big thing that's about to nick them, they'll come out with a counterweight or a counterstroke of dumb stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, and you know, Cliff, you and I talk about this all the time. Trump was a master of this. I mean, when embarrassing news came on out, I mean, half the time you kept expecting him to just go out in the White House lawn and drop pants and say, "Woo, look at my butt cheeks." And you know, and that's one way. And it was as god awful as it was one way where he was able to bury news that would cripple any other presidency. He was able to get it off the front page within 3 hours.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, we never accounted for the fact that once our media became so sensationalized in such a, like, hour-to-hour kind of thing, that a guy that literally does something stupider or more crooked or whatever it is each hour, that you can't actually focus on anything. Because it's like it keeps moving. It's like you're spinning a wheel, you know? You know, and that's the thing. And Bill obviously is 100% right. Like, what I always say is, you know, what gets me angry about the Democratic Party is when I say, like, I just want us to as forcefully and aggressively tell the truth about them as much as they lie about us. We don't need to make anything up. I mean, they're absurd. I mean, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is talking about gazpacho police coming after us.
Oh, delicious. Like, oh, how delicious
are
the police force?
I mean, it's sad because it actually sounds tasty. But my knowledge of history is that it was not.
No, it wasn't. But the fact that she was so confident as she said it, the gazpacho police. And you're right. Like, oh, God, really?
I mean, what do you think happened when she went out for the Luftwaffles?
Oh, God. Sorry,
I couldn't help myself. I had to. I know that was awful, but I had to.
It does feel like I have a hard time not believing people like Marjorie Taylor Greene sometimes are like double agents. not double agents so much as just like, what's the word for it? It's just sort of an elaborate performance. Like, no, it really does feel like nobody could be that dumb and get where they are.
Oh, like an Andy Kaufman sort of thing.
Yeah, a performance piece almost, but to a point, which is to like be ready to get everybody's attention when it really should be elsewhere, you know?
Oh. Well, no, they're very good at getting the cameras, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Cliff, what were you saying?
No, I was agreeing. I think it's a very legit theory. I mean, I've sort of felt sometimes like we're all in a elaborate matrix now. I don't know whether we actually really exist. It's like in the Matrix. I see a cat walk by the same way twice, and I'm like, really? This is all absurd, right? I mean, like we'd see some of this stuff in TV shows. Even I remember I stopped watching, you know, House of Cards. This was back in the day before we knew what, of course, Kevin Spacey did.
Yeah,
but I stopped watching just because my reaction, my wife and I, we were just both like, oh, come on. Like, the guy that's the vice president pushed a reporter on the tracks in front of a train. That's absurd. And then within a couple of years, I was like, I could actually see that happening.
Yeah.
Like, it that's the thing. So much of this stuff doesn't feel real because it's almost been a constant test of how low can we go and how much will like the mainstream media normalize what Republicans do? How much will Democrats try to act like, you know, attack sometimes? I don't want to go after Democrats constantly here, but like, we're just not, sometimes we just want to pretend that everything's okay. You know what I mean? Oh, it'll be okay. You know, and then other Republicans, the ones, the few that probably still have any marbles, just sort of sit there and, you know, they whistle past the graveyard and they're like, eh, it'll all go away. And I mean, it just keeps getting worse. It's like, where is there a point that we can't go past? I don't know. I'm not sure there is.
Now, and Bill, I don't know if you remember, but you and I talked, I think it was back in 2017. And we had said, how do you make fun of something that is, there's no parody or comedy that you can do that can't outdo themselves. I mean, they literally are writing better material in the real world than any comedian could ever write.
Yeah, that's totally true. I think even more so now. I remember it wasn't too many years ago, Jon Stewart put out, before he, you know, came back on TV, he put out a movie that was dear to his heart about a candidate. It never went very far, but it was basically like about a perfect candidate that these people found, and supposed to be this biting, cynical thing. But in the era of Trump, it came off like very naive and innocent in its way. It's like, we're so far past that, Jon Stewart. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's so much more cynical and weird than you can even make it now.
Well, don't look up.
What was the one with Warren Beatty again? Bullworth. Right,
yeah, Bullworth, yeah.
Would any of that be shocking to hear now? Like, back then, you're like, a politician could never say that stuff. Now it's like, of course they could. I mean,
yeah,
we've seen them say that kind of stuff.
Well, it's Network. We're going back to look at Network and look at how that movie was. I mean, for gosh sakes, they took the screaming guy from that and turned it into Fox News. I mean, they absolutely did. They
predicted our media in such a way.
Oh, God, they did.
Like, I mean, they nailed it, right? Just the way, in some ways, you could say the candidate, you know, was Robert Redford, you know, about about where our politics was headed. They nailed it. I mean, these guys saw these trends in the 70s, we've gotten there. The warnings were not heeded.
Let's take a quick break, guys. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'm going to talk to you about whether or not you believe that Donald Trump didn't take any phone calls on 1-6-952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks and MST3K, Cliff Schechter from Unprecedented the Podcast, and The Train Chimp. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, the entire hour with Cliff Schechter from Unprecedented the Podcast and Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks, Mystery Science Theater 3000. And guys, as we talk a little politics here before we get into the Super Bowl and Cliff's team being there, I thought one of the more ludicrous things that I can't even comprehend why they even tried to pull this off, but when the 1-6 Commission requested all the documents, they requested all the documents, including the call lists for the White House. And apparently they didn't give them any. They said that they weren't taking any calls. It's not like they didn't give them the sheets, but they said, oh, no one called that day. And the first thing I said is, well, how many times did Trump call Domino's and Grubhub that day? And I guarantee you those calls got to be someplace. But, I mean, come on. They clearly, as the walls are closing in on this investigation, they're now frantically just trying to be belligerent and hope that gets them out of it.
Take it away,
Cliff. Oh, you want me to go?
Oh, yeah.
My time to shine. First of all, there's no way he's going for longer than an hour without getting the crispy thighs from KFC. Okay? We all know this. But second of all, I didn't see exactly how. Didn't they have a record that Jim Jordan had called that day?
He had admitted it. He admitted it. Now they actually have the records that say Jim Jordan talked to him for like 10 minutes.
Right. So we do know that. No, there's no way. I mean, again, and we've just discussed how some of these things, you know, have disappeared because Trump, if Trump didn't get his KFC, he got hungry and he ate them, or he flushed them down the toilet, or some of them ended up at Mar-a-Lago, like that awesome Sharpie drawing of his.
Oh, God, that's great. That's got to come. That's got to come back to the archives. We've got to get the Sharpie drawing on the hurricane map.
Like Bill could do that kind of thing on his show. I mean, that thing is just perfection, is what that. But I mean, beyond joking, in all seriousness, that's the thing here is, you know, the shredding, the flushing, the eating. There's so many ways these people have destroyed documents. You know, who knows, right? Who knows what is being handed over, and who knows what they still have. But no, I mean, of course, there's no way He wasn't talking. You know, they had their own, no pun intended, war room set up, right?
Oh,
the hotel, and we're talking to numerous members and to numerous of their staff and Navarro and Giuliani and all these clowns. So I don't believe that for a second.
Bill.
Of course not.
Hold on. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, these guys, if nothing else about these guys, they are blabbermouths who cannot stop, you know, just sort of harassing each other to do stuff. And like, it's just out not with credibility that Trump wouldn't be yammering all day to people about this, you know, because he thinks that if he cajoles enough people, he'll get what he wants. And you know what? It works far too often. But of course they were working the phone. I mean, that's what a war room is. They weren't padding around like monks all the time, you know, checking law or anything.
I have a mental picture of, you know, like an intern walking into the Oval Office and there's Trump chewing on paper. And you know, kind of like, you know, is this real? And I thought to myself, what's the wildest thing? I've walked into someone's office, and I'm not going to say who this was. This was someone I was working with. I didn't work for, but I, you know, they were kind of, you know, calling a lot of the shots at one point. And I went in for a meeting with them, and the guy had like explosive gas, and at no point even like acknowledged it. He just kind of, you know, had his own little tuba section down there. And I just sort of sat there through the entire meeting. He's like, yeah, and you're not going to say a thing about it. Okay. All right. You are weird. But I still think that that was better than, you know, pardon me, I'm a little hungry. Can you pass me the ranch dipping sauce? And he starts chowing down on the papers.
Yeah. And he probably had the tuba section going too, knowing him, you know, in his diet. But
I believe that for 4 years the White House smelled like nothing but that. Just, it was like mustard gas was so bad.
And KFC.
Can you imagine? Like, did they have to Biden people? Like, is there any sort of like line item for cleaning supplies? You know, and when they moved into the White House, can you imagine steam cleaning that thing and like? I would have deloused the entire house.
Well, remember the rats? Remember the rats? They had rats. They actually had a rat problem in there because apparently there was like fast food bags left around.
Oh, man. Is there any better metaphor than that?
No, I mean, again, like just that's the thing. I mean, again, I mean, there's just so many people on the right whose politics I loathe, you know? I mean, pretty much all of them, and yet like that they all sort of, you know, stand at attendance to this utter clown, this clown like figure who just in every way you any insult you could throw at somebody would be the truth about him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, like, did you see this video with one of the ones who spoke out a little bit against him, you know, I guess it's being primaried now, Nancy Mace?
Yes.
Who's that congresswoman, I guess she's from South Carolina. I think did she go to the Citadel, I feel like.
I think she's a representative from the most liberal district in South Carolina, which includes like Beaufort and the coastal area down there. So it is kind of, they had a Democrat down there, but she did win that race.
Right.
Yeah.
She won that swing. And so she initially had spoke, you like, well, I remember after January 6th, she was one of the ones who I saw, you know, and I was like, thankfully, right? You know, like a few of the others who spoke out. But like she's now back to kissing butt, you know. I mean, she did this video in front of Trump Tower,
yeah,
about how great he was. I mean, it's just like I guess I can't fathom it because there's nothing. Maybe if you threatened to physically harm my children, I would debase myself that way. But there's no job in life, no whatever that I could ever stand there and sort of speak positively about this guy who's obviously just an absolute, like, he's every bad quality a human being has. He's the seven sins plus like the four horsemen of the apocalypse plus, I mean, he's like, I mean, is there any bad quality that he does not possess? I don't know of any.
I've got, here's the deal. We'll end a political talk on this, but I want to give you guys an idea. And I've said this, I don't know if Bill, if you've heard it, but I've come up with an ad. And if the Democrats, I don't care which Democrats do it, Ohio Democrats, the DFL here in Minnesota, I don't care. But if you did this ad, I think this would cripple the Republicans come November. And the ad, simple ad, okay? You have the farm, you know, you got an image of the farm. a voiceover starts off, my family moved here 150 years ago. We've been voting Republican for 150 years. Last year, we trusted the Republicans when they discouraged us from getting vaccinated, told us not to wear a mask, told us not to socially distance. I've got two dead family members. Five of my family were sick. One of them has been sick for over a year. I got $200,000 worth of debt. I guarantee you from this point forward, I will never trust a Republican again, and I will never vote for one ever again. Paid for by the Democratic Party. If you did that ad, I mean, and I don't know why the Democrats don't have the guts to do that ad, because that's a truthful, as you said, Cliff. It's a truthful, factual thing you are saying. If you don't do that ad, I mean, my gosh, there is no response the Republicans could put to that.
Yeah, and it has the virtue of being blunt and not couched in, you know, wonk speak.
Yeah.
They really need to just be punchers. And they have been for years, and blunt and to the point. But instead, you know, I'm just going to end on this sour note. Sorry, we have our leaders saying we need a strong Republican Party. No, we don't.
No, we don't need that. We need them to come out. That ad, I'll say quickly, I mean, you're so right on, just because of the fact that you know, if we don't mention COVID, we get more like what happened in Virginia anyhow. They have found a way to turn it around and blame us for school closings.
Yeah.
Because we haven't told people they're the reason, because exactly what you just said, because they told people not to mask, not to distance, to inject bleach, to stick a freaking ultraviolet light up your anus, to, you know, like the 50 billion things they said that were wrong. It's going away. Drink your own urine. I mean, you know, like they've done all these things, and that's led this thing to stay around, to get worse. And so that is why we've had things closed, because of them. And if we could make that argument, and I think what you're talking about here, Matt, because it's a testimonial from somebody, and there are plenty of people who lost people because they trusted these guys and have spoken out. And I couldn't agree with you more. That should be front and center the next election.
And unfortunately, the Democrats will ignore it, because they've got a very strongly worded memo on solar power that they want to deliver. And oh, God.
Driving crazy.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk Olympics first, a little bit of Olympics. Then we're going to let Cliff Schechter go crazy about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Super Bowl. Patrick, I'm going to have you chime in and give us your picks on that as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Also, about 30 minutes left to get your entries in for AM950 Wordle. You can do that on the Facebook live streams or by making the call as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM950. AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday, and a real treat for you today. Bill Corbett joining us from Riff Tracks and Mystery Science Theater 3000, and Cliff Schechter joining us from Unprecedented, the podcast, and Blue Am Strategies as we are talk politics. But we're now going to – the main reason we're here, Bill, is because Cliff is gaga, the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl for the first time in a long time, taking on the Rams on Sunday. And so, you know, when I gave him the option of doing this 2 weeks ago, he was like, yes, let's do this. And so, yeah, this is why we are here today.
Who could blame him, really?
No, we don't know what it's like. Not in Minneapolis.
No, certainly not.
So,
well, you know, Bill and I are originally New Yorkers.
Yes.
And we got the heck out of Dodge. And ended up in the Midwest. And you know, so I grew up with, you know, we've talked about this in your show before. We've had fun talking about the Yankees or whatever. I mean, I grew up rooting for New York teams. And I still, for a few of them, still root for them because it's, you know, I lost my dad in 2013. It's a connection to him. It's something that we had together, which I think a lot of families are that way. But it's like, you know, New York, it's like, oh, a team's in the Super Bowl or teams in the World Series or whatever. You know, what else is going on tonight? You know, and here it's, you know, like this entire town is taken over by this. I mean, you know, the last time we were there, you know, it was almost like the Macarena was a big deal. You know, I mean, as it's been since, I don't know, 89.
Yeah, I think it was.
And I'm sorry?
Yeah, it was. I think it was 89. It was the Bengals versus the 49ers.
Yep. And everybody, it's just, it's fun to be a part of. That's the thing, is that I root for the Cincinnati teams. My boys have both been raised in Cincinnati, and they're, you know, they're fans of the Cincinnati teams. They probably, to humor me, root for the New York teams too. But there, and so, like, you know, my kids are off on Monday. School is canceled.
that's great.
Right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Like, there's a day off here for the, you know, because traditionally the first day, because Cincinnati, you know, is a city that goes very far back, sort of historically, traditionally, the first baseball team was in Cincinnati. And so it used to be that the first pitch was always thrown out and the first game was always here. They changed that tradition.
Wow.
Yeah, and they changed that tradition, which kind of annoys me because I like those. I mean, there are a lot of traditions that, as we all three of us would agree, that suck. But those kinds of traditions are kind of cool. And, you know, so, I mean, and that day, that first day, is also a day where a lot of people give people off from work here. So, like, you know, you just don't get that atmosphere in New York or Washington, where I lived, where just everyone is so excited. And it's, and you know, part of it is just, I mean, obviously everyone wants to win badly and they'll be a little heartbroken if you lose, but it's just also just being so excited just to be there, to be a part of it, to, you know, to upset expectations, to be the underdog. And, you know, so it's just, it's a ton of fun. That's the best way I can put it.
Bill, you, you're not a big sports fan, are you?
Well, I used to be more. I follow, I'm a fair weather sports fan right now. I like following the Vikings and the Twins. I still keep one eye on New York teams. I regret to tell Cliff I was a Mets fan.
all good.
But that's, you know, my generation. I grew up, I'm a little older, so, like, the Mets were the thing when I was growing up. But, yeah, it is cool to be in a smaller Midwestern town where it is relatively more important. There's only kind of one game in town. I mean, outside of the U, which is also, you know, big here, the Gophers. My family lives in Ohio, as you know, Cliff. Some of them in Columbus. So they are, like, all about the Ohio State University. My niece is actually at Xavier in Cincinnati. And I just looked on their homepage, and they have Who Day hashtag on their homepage. So, yeah, it's everywhere. This is not, I mean, Xavier is not a sports college, to say the least, but they're into it.
Oh
yeah, that's the thing. They do here and there. They get a good basketball team in the tournament,
true.
You're right. Overall, it's like
it's small.
UC is kind of more of that here.
You know, you're right across the river from Kentucky. I mean, I will ask you. I mean, is down there when the Kentucky Derby goes on? I mean, they have, you know, special food and all this stuff that's going on. I mean, I know the Cincinnati. I actually thought the chili on the spaghetti was not bad. I had it when I was out there. I didn't think it was bad. But is there something that's going to be a lot of people are having specifically with this? There's a food that's going along with this?
With the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Chili on spaghetti.
That's going to be it. All right.
That's what we have for everything.
Chili is classic Super Bowl food no matter where you are. So.
See, Bill gets it. I don't care. Yeah. You know, people try to attack that stuff. I love it. I mean, spaghetti's great. Chili's great. Cheese is great. Why would they not all be great together?
I've had it. I thought it was delicious. I mean, you do get the grief. What I think it is, you get those foodies. You know, it's like, how dare you take chili and put it on spaghetti noodles? And you're like, okay, come on, a little over yourself there. It's not exactly talking about filet mignon here. We're mixing it with an Oscar Mayer hot dog. So
no, like, I mean, every place has something goofy. You know, like, I studied in England and, like, we would go out drinking and have doner kebabs. I don't even want to know what's in those things half the time. You know what I mean? Like, I lived in Philly, you know, for college. It was cheesesteaks. I mean, that's the thing here is the chili, you know, and spaghetti. I love it. I mean, we just had it last night, man. I would have it. I could easily eat that twice a week and be a very happy man. The other big thing is there's a really good ice cream place here, Graders, that is based here.
Graders is the best.
See, so Bill knows. He knows deal. Because they have in Columbus, too. It was based
here. Yeah, it's all over Ohio. And I, like, my kids make me take them on a pilgrimage there at least twice whenever we visit my family there. It's the best.
It really is the best ice cream I've ever had. And, you know, not to say that I was going to say for a second that one time Oprah went on TV and declared it was the best ice cream she'd ever had. Mm-hmm. But then again, she also gave us Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz.
So yeah, grain of salt.
I don't know if I'm feeling like her judgment is so good anymore that I want to use that one as an endorsement.
But, I got Dr. Phil flavor. Oh, God, no.
How's that?
But it really is good stuff.
Well, I'm a little congested. Never mind. All right. Yeah. So one of the things with the Super Bowl as well, we get the ads. What's your favorite all-time Super Bowl ad? Either one of you have one?
Oh, wow.
Terry Tate, office linebacker. Hands down, one of the best ideas they ever had. Guy tackling people and hitting them hard in the office.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, right.
I forgot about that one. That's the thing is there's so many good ones. Like, it's hard to even think of. I love the pets.com one that then bankrupted them because it was a hilarious story.
Yeah.
Their money on the
web, web 1.0 and everyone was fighting the dust.
Oh, God.
I mean, maybe that's just me being a jerk, but I always found that funny. What else? You know, well, I don't know. Was the Mean Joe Green one with the Coke?
That was Super Bowl ad. Yeah.
That's a pretty cool one. And that was when I was a kid, like, you know, that was when I was watching Super Bowls in, you know, single and early double digits. You know what I mean? That one was pretty powerful.
Who was the guy that did the Intellivision? Oh, God, the guy with the white hair. Oh, God. It was like the worst idea ever because the biggest, clunkiest home video game and some, you know, kind of like Carl Sagan light. And this is, they put this together to sell to kids. And I remember them having a Super Bowl ad one time. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's not going to work.
I don't even remember it.
Oh, God. I mean, who was that guy? Do me a favor, Patrick. Type in television and old guy and see what comes up. Give me a name. I guarantee it's going to come up. Oh, God. That'd be funny as heck. That's all it took.
Well, I wish I remembered more of these things, but I guess
There was an ad with the late Betty White a couple of years ago.
Snickers. The Snickers ad.
Pagoda?
Yeah, the Snickers ad. That was a good one, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think they have both since left us, but it was basically a play on. These guys are still alive.
What's the? Do you have a name?
No, I don't. I was going to say, I forgot what the ad was for, but you had a guy in his apartment with, there was a cat that got over, knocked over the spaghetti sauce that was on the stove. And so he picks up the cat by the scruff of his neck as the wife comes back in and he, you know, he has a knife because he's making dinner. And so the wife comes in. It looks like he just killed the cat. I forgot what the ad was for, but that was the first one that came to mind for me.
Oh, God.
That one will get your attention.
George Plimpton.
Oh, my God, yeah.
George Plimpton was the spokesperson. If I was ever to try to market to kids, boy, oh, boy, George Plimpton really comes to the top of mind.
Love George Plimpton.
They brought him
yelling about George Plimpton, George Plimpton dolls.
There is an ad they had for that where George Plimpton autographed a video game, an Intellivision video game for a kid. It's like the dumbest thing. You watch it today, and it's like, God, this is uncomfortable. It's like there should be a restraining order. There should be some distance between George Plimpton and that child. And yet, this was how they marketed their product back then.
I was going to say, these days, they should be very careful about that stuff.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to give it to him. Cliff, give us your call on the Super Bowl and what the score is going to be.
Well, let's see. If I were to stand in front of my whiteboard.
God.
No, listen,
okay, Glenn Beck.
Exactly. And it all connects to the Soroses. Sorry.
Right.
I got to go with the Bengals. Every game they've won has come down to the end where they've found a way to win because besides Burrow, who's gained the reputation for being cool and all that, you know, people forget our field goal kicker, McPherson, who seems to be able to kick the ball 127,000 yards. So I'm gonna go 24-21.
24.
Say that we win that way. I think you know teams have good offenses, so there'll be some scoring, but that's where I'll come down with that.
Bill, do you have? I know you're not following too closely, but do you want to make a call on this one?
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to be close. I know enough to know that there's not one obvious powerhouse, you know, relative to the other here. I would kind of like to see Cincinnati win just for my family and my niece who's down there at Xavier. I don't think it's going to be tight. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but yeah, by 3 or 6 points, Cincinnati somewhere in the 30s.
Scoring well. All right. How's that? I
told you before, Bill's my man. Right?
30 to 27. We'll go with that. Well, the spread's, what, 3.5. So I think all of us are going to be kind of close to this on this level. Patrick is probably, of all the three of us, and I'm not joking, Patrick is probably the best sports guy we have here. Patrick, what is your thought here on the Super Bowl?
I'm going.
Guide us, Patrick.
Well, I'm going to go Rams 30 to 23.
Shut your mouth.
Well, I don't want them to win, but I'm not getting paid to go with my heart on this one.
Okay, that's fair.
Cliff, you want to call
any
names?
Paid at all? Yeah, that's the question.
As long as you're getting paid, that's what matters. I am not going to argue with Patrick. No, he's just making a good faith call here. What he thinks is going to happen. Okay. You know, I would just say what I like about this team is they've been the underdog everywhere and mostly on the road. And let's, you know, they can call this game home or away. I love how they do that. They're like, it's technically a Bengals home game, but it's being played in the Rams stadium.
Yeah.
But it's, you know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right? But it's in the Rams stadium. So I don't know, you know, who knows, right? But I just have a feeling the way I just had a feeling, you know, in that last game that these guys, that the combination of Burrow and Chase and McPherson, all three of those guys seem to be pretty clutch. And they'll find a way to just pull it out again. As everybody's saying, it'll be close. I'll be nervous the entire time. That's what I think is going to happen. That's what I hope happens.
Yeah.
I guess I'll see. Either way, I'll be eating chili with spaghetti.
Yeah, that's the important part. I also think it'll be a good game. And so many Super Bowls are not great games.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of have hope that this one is going to be exciting. Because there's nothing more fun than an exciting football game. And nothing worse than a boring Super Bowl game.
Right.
There's that span of time.
I'm trying to remember when it was. Probably about 10 years ago, more. Where there were a bunch of Super Bowls in a row that kept being like 50 to like 12. You know, I mean, like it was just horrible.
Snoozers.
So,
Patrick, yep. I'm just going to let you know that in 3 weeks, when you get a steaming, smelly box full of chili on pasta noodles, that's from Cliff. Just FYI.
I'm going to sit it out in the sun for a while.
Get ready for that. Here you go.
Cincinnati says hello.
Love from Ohio.
One funny
Cincinnati's
note.
Cincinnati's version, you're going to be sleeping with the fishes. You know what I'm saying?
One funny note about the chili, there's a tight end for the Bengals, CJ Uzuma, who said if the Bengals win, he's going to take a bath in Skyline chili. So I'm kind of hoping
that's my clincher for me. Okay, here it comes down to this, and I'll say this. If the Bengals can control Aaron Donald, who is that sensational defensive player for the Rams, if all of a sudden, you know, the quarterback for the Bengals is on his back all the time, that's not going to be good for them. I think the Bengals will. I think it's going to be 27-24 Bengals at the end of it. They win their first Super Bowl. There you go.
All right.
There you go.
We have a pretty tight grouping here.
We will not come back. If we're all wrong, and Patrick is the only one that's right, we are not coming back. Okay, but guys, this has been fun. I want to do this again at some point. I hope we can pull this off again.
Heck yeah. Well,
I would love to. Bill, you know, Bill makes more money than me. He's more important, so I don't know if he'll have the time. But
you guys have a very exaggerated view of my success.
Every day I have to convince myself to turn off Netflix so I come do the show. So, you know, it's what I do for a living.
Yeah. No, you guys, seriously, both you guys are great, you know. And Patrick, you too, even though you made a bad choice. you guys are awesome, and, I will do this anytime. So it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Cliff Schechter, Unprecedented, Blue Amp Strategies, Bill Corbett, Riff Tracks, and Mystery Science Theater 3000. Guys, I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Thank you very much. Let's take a final break. Come on back and wrap up the show for the hour and the week. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. God, that was phenomenal. We're obviously going to spotlight the three segments we did with those two. Just top-notch stuff there. And Bill Corbett, Cliff Schechter. God, we should do more sports shows with them. That was fun. Someone said the Bartle and James, the ad that they were referring to is the Bartle and James ad from years ago. Oh, that's, God, I remember George Plimpton. They tried to sell video games to children with the magnetic personality, George Plimpton. Wow. Hello there, young child. How are you today? Oh, yes, because nothing gets kids more fired up than the Lincoln-Douglas debates. All right. First things first, we've got to give a winner here to AM950 Wordle for the day. Mary, we got an entry in on the Facebook Live stream. Mary Raconteur, Raconteur. Yep, that works. Mary, congratulations. You have won yourself an AM950 calendar. We've got another full week of AM950 Wordle coming up next week. So if you, like I said, and every day, you know, every time you can, you know, get a chance to do this, by all means, enter in. If you win once, obviously hold off after that. But and congratulations to Mary. We'll get you that calendar. If you'd like a calendar but don't want to play the Wordle, just go to AM950 Radio. Become a member of AM950 Radio. Make a one-time donation or a recurring donation. We will send you a calendar as a thank you because, yes, indeed, we do indeed thank you. A fantastic week. I've already got, two Democrats of the Day loaded up for next week. We'll have more guests. I imagine I'm going to have Jack Rice back on with the trial going on. Jeff Stein stopping by. So a lot of things to get to next week. Make sure you join us for that. Native Roots Radio is coming up next. Make sure you're staying for that. Absolutely fantastic show. Robert Pilot and crew ready to go right after we're done. But right now, taking us out, I'm dancing. Why not? It's the Presidents of the United States of America. Lump. Have a good weekend. Back on Monday. See ya. She's love, she's love.